Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25. And it reads, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened to us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Simple, short, to the point. But before we go into it, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words that you've given me to write down. But Lord, I know that you work through me, and there's times when things that I've written down get blown away and things that you want to say get inserted. And that's fine for me, Lord, because I want to be your instrument this morning. Use me. We want to hear from you, Lord. You are the only one who's got the power of eternal life. So, Lord, we want to open up your word to us this morning so that we are left in no doubt as to what you are saying to each of us, because we know that you've got something in it for each one here. And Lord, we need not just to hear it, but we need to take ownership of it. We need to heed it and to work it into our lives if we are to grow in our faith. But we ask for your help, Lord, because without you, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name we come. Amen. This morning's message I've entitled "Persevere in the Faith." We've just heard a bit from our brother here this morning, didn't we, Alex? About persevering in the faith. Now, persevering, people say persevering. It sounds a harsh thing, doesn't it? And it is. Because it's going, doing things even when you don't want to do it. You've got to put up with it. You've got to take the pressure and get on with it. You know, but on our own strength, it's impossible. We need the Lord. How can we achieve perseverance in our faith? Well, we are advised in the passage that we've just read this morning. The best way, I would suggest, is to consult and comply with what Scripture tells us. Because we need to build up our faith. And the only way we can build up our faith, or build up anything, is by feeding it and exercising it. And without food and exercise, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have reached 75. Ephesians 1, verse 7, we read, "In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Well, you see, there's nothing we can do in ourselves. We need his forgiveness. We need his blessing, and we need his grace. You know, if you know Jesus as your Savior this morning, you can rely on God's promises, all of his promises, which are yes and amen. Ephesians 2, 13, Paul tells us, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." See, we couldn't do it on our own. We needed a holy sacrifice. He goes on to remind us of just how much we will need God's support in order to succeed. In 1 Corinthians 5:15, the Apostle Paul gives all the credit to God, where he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me." You know, it's something so simple. It sounds so simple, but it's so difficult to do. You listen to what the Lord is saying to you as you're reading scriptures. And as Alex said, when things are going wrong, you know, you're falling behind or stopped moving forward, which is just as bad, because if you're not moving forward, you're going nowhere. But when you know it and you hear the Holy Spirit talking to you, then you've got to take notice and you've got to do something about it. But if you don't do it, it's like somebody on a diet. I know I'm getting fat because I'm eating too many cornflakes in the morning. But if I get up each morning and still eat the same amount of cornflakes, what good is it doing knowing what's doing it? I'm sure that you don't need me to tell you that if, like Paul, you're a child of God, you can be sure that his grace will be extended to you in your Christian walk as and when needs arise. There are times when I've been in situations and someone said something and it's so easy to jump in with 2 feet and cause an argument which drives them further away, drives you further away from God because you're trying to do things in your own strength rather than listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And that's where smart evangelization comes in, is take yourself out of the situation and let God do the work. Hard to do. You know, we all like to be in control, don't we? It's a sinful thing. And the old Satan, he knows that. And as Alex said, he knows scripture, but he twists it. And if you listen to him, he will make you think that you're doing well when you're not moving forward. And that's all he wants. If he stops you moving forward, he's succeeded. He's not worried really about knocking you down and killing you off. Because if he can turn you, you're more used to him because you can turn others for him, taking the load off his work. But we need to remember the promise that we have from Jesus. He promised to all of his followers, which if you're a child of his, you can claim. It's from Matthew 28:20, verse 20b, and it's right at the end of the Great Commission. And he promises, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You know, you're never alone when you're walking with the Lord. But you need to remember that. He is always near to you, but sometimes we drift away from him. But you know, he is a good shepherd. He will gather his sheep and he will bring you back to him if you're listening to his voice. Now when we turn to the Old Testament and read Psalm 37:23-24, we read, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall. The Lord upholds him with his hand." So again, we don't need our own strength. We just need to trust him. It's like a young child will come down the stairs and their mummy or daddy's there and they go, "Come on, jump." They'll throw themselves, launch themselves at you and catch them. But you leave them till they're 3, 4, 5, and they get in the will of their own, and they come down and say, "Come on, jump." And they go, "Yeah." Well, sometimes we can be like that. You know, at the start, you're full of enthusiasm, and you're doing everything. But sometimes the older you get, you think, "Well, I haven't got the energy for that now." But, you know, all you got to do is ask the Lord to give you the drive and the spirit to get on and do it, and you can persevere. He will not fail us. If any time any of us feel alone, we need to remember that that's not the case. For the Lord is our good shepherd, if we belong to him. And a good shepherd takes care of his sheep. And it's important, though, that we remember the price that was paid to effect that. And the blessings that Jesus brings. And the hope we have in him. It goes on to say that we need to take heed of the following teachings. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Wow. Easier said than done. You know, there's a lovely old hymn, and we've sung it here quite often. There is power in the name of Jesus. Nothing could be truer. You know, and that's what we need to remember, and that's what we need to draw upon, is his power. Because without him, we're powerless. But with his power, then we will have hope to persevere in our faith. It's important that we understand that we will have problems from those in the world today who prefer worldly ways to Christian ways. And you don't have to go far to see it. You turn on the television, you see it all the time. You know, we will receive all sorts of insults, especially if we're walking in the light. Because if we're walking in darkness, we will just seem like part of the world. And you'll have an easy ride. Nobody will give you much lip, really, unless they're drunk. You know, but we need to be not just walking the walk and talking the talk. It's important that we let God's light shine through us. Not ours. It's nothing that we're going to do. People have got to see God in us. They've got to see that there's something different, something that they want. Because jealousy is a big driver in this world today, isn't it? And if they're jealous of what you've got, they'll be asking you, what is it? And when they ask, that's the time when you can rely on the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say, the right words to say, because you know that the Holy Spirit's working in them, softening their hearts and making them inquisitive to ask. So be gentle and let the Lord do the work. You know, to be effective in our discipleship, we need to understand the importance of studying and meditating on his word. I can't overstate that. It is, as I've already said this morning, it's the food that we need to build us up and to sustain us in our faith. I don't know about you, but I enjoy breakfast in the morning. It sets me up for the day. And I'm not a big breakfast eater, I must admit. Linda measures me out a little bit of muesli and a splash of milk and a cup of coffee. And that's me. But it sets me up and sees me through to lunchtime. But the best food that we have every morning to start me off, I read Word for the Day. And then we do our Bible in a Year study together. And sometimes you think, especially when you go through some of the old prophets. And it would be so easy to say, well, what's the importance of this? But the older you get, you listen. And every time you listen to it, you pick something new out of it. And that's the thing with Scripture. You can pick it up and read the same passage day after day, and you'll get something new each time. Where a normal book, you'll read it once, maybe twice, if it's a really good one, and then give it away to your friend. But you know, you'll never give away the Bible if you're a child of God. because it's so interesting to read. And it's something that we need to do to sustain our Christian walk. We need to remain in contact with the Father, in communication with Him. In Romans 5:9, we read, "Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him?" What exactly does it mean to persevere in faith? Simply, it means to keep on, keeping on, even when you don't feel like it. We need to bear in mind the prize that we are going to gain from doing it. It's like all these athletes. Do you think they would do all the training that they do year in, year out, to go to the Olympics just to come third or fourth? No, they want the prize. But are they sure of getting it? They can be the best runner in the world and have a bad day. But the good news is, with the Lord, if you're saved, if you're walking with Him, your prize is guaranteed. Eternal life. You need to bear in mind that prize that you're going for. John 3:16 makes it quite clear, doesn't it? Gospel in a nutshell. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." It couldn't be any clearer than that, could it? If you're listening to this message and you haven't as yet accepted Jesus, God's one and only Son, as your Saviour, then I've got news for you. You've got no claim to any of God's promises. They are not yes and amen to anyone. If you think of it, when someone dies and they leave a will, the only ones that would be mentioned in that will are family members. So if you're not in the family, you're not entitled to the inheritance. So if you want to be an inheritor of the kingdom, you need to join the family. It's as simple as that. You need to be in the family. God's promises, the only one that you can claim if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, is that one we just read in verse 18 from John 3. "But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Now that is a promise which cannot be reversed unless you submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus. I trust and pray, if you have not as yet accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you will not ponder too long. You give it serious thought and make it soon rather than later, because none of us know what time we've got left or when the King of Kings will return to claim His own. And whichever of those two events happen, if you haven't made that decision, I'm afraid that verse 18 will stand. You know, there's a favourite old hymn or spiritual of mine. "Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in." I've made my choice to be in that number. And I trust and pray that you too will remember what Jesus told His disciples. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Heidi, in her message last week, reminded us, in God's army, there is no conscripted soldiers. We all have to decide to enlist. It's a free will choice, and the choice is yours. And with that, let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. The fact that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son to be our sacrificial lamb, so that we had a path and a chance to come back into a relationship with you. And we thank Jesus for bearing our sins on that cross in obedience to you, making it possible for us to regain communion with you. Lord, we ask that you will give us the power through your Holy Spirit to remain strong in the faith, keep our strength up, and keep us persevering in our faith, enabling us to stand firm on your word. Your word never changes. You never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why all of your promises are yes and amen, because you cannot do anything else. You are a righteous, loving Heavenly Father, and you can only claim your family as heirs to your kingdom. So Lord, we just pray that if anyone is still in need of hearing from you or a touch from you, Lord, that they will get down on their hands and knees or come and seek advice from someone that they trust, because the only person it's worth trusting really in this life is you, because you are the only one who is constant. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we can depend on you. In Jesus' precious name we come. Amen.